Welcome to the Tom Dupree Show for our financial hour. Join us, Mike Johnson, our host Tom Dupree, and we are powered by Dupree Financial Group.
So, this song came out in 1970. At the time, Stevie Wonder was 20. You know when he made, how old he was when he made his first album and what year it was? So, 1970 means he would have been born in 1950. And therefore, this was not his first album by far. He started making albums in 1962. Which is, if your math is correct, he was 12 years old. And that was, I would say this was probably his first big, really commercial hit. But here's, I just sent you the.
We heard it on your transistor radio.
So he had one before that, that came out, I'm going to say 67.
So you want me to play the one you just sent?
Well, why would I have sent it to you?
I'm unsure. That's why I'm asking.
Be sure.
I'm certain. Yeah. I'm certain.
All right. So Stevie Wonder, okay, that what was that first instrument you were hearing in that song? It wasn't a guitar.
It might have been a keyboard of some sort. I don't know.
It was an electric sitar.
Sitar, huh.
Which was kind of, the Beatles had, you know, made it big, yeah. And all the Indian, all the stuff. Okay, this was more featuring his, this had come out a couple of years before that. I remember being at camp and hearing this song, like at Camp Daniel Boone, which meant, say, 1970, 67-ish, because that would have been when I was around 12, or 11 even. And I had to go to camp. Loved
That's
it.
So startling when you say that. It makes me realize how much younger I am.
Turn it up.
So.
Now, this song, it's got a different sound. It's not as, it's more sparse. This was more his, more of a Motownish sound. The other song, it's got more of a funk sound, kind of. And, you know, Stevie Wonder, you know, was just really a remarkable talent, and he was burning extremely bright at a very early age. And, you know, it's just one of those things I got to witness. I mean, I could do three shows a week for the next 20 years and talk about music that I've listened to. But that would not do anything. It wouldn't get us any closer to resolving the problem with target date funds, which is really...
And this is the more
important matter, yeah. You know, at hand here.
And this is the financial hour.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, let me say this, and this is an article that Mike pulled out of Barron's called Don't Count on Target Date Funds for Retirement, What to Know. You know what amazes me, and this has been – I've been in this business for 46 years. The capacity of this business, the investment business, let's call it the financial services business, to create really mediocre and below mediocre products that have a lot of financial whiz-bang to it, neat and pretty packaging, and convince people, wow, we're really getting something here. This has been thought through. And they put these products out there. Typically, they have a lot of management fees that you don't see or know about if it's a mutual fund. and there is nothing nothing new under the sun has been created. This same kind of stuff has been going on forever. They just give it a different name, pull a roll out a marketing campaign, and they get it done. So if you entrust, you got to listen to me here. If you entrust your retirement success to Wall Street and the sales process, let's just call it the sales process, frequently you're going to be getting mediocre or below mediocre results. And these target date funds are basically that. Now, you get a lot of people that get sold on the idea. They put them in these 401k plans, and everybody tell, oh, this is great. This is what you need to do. It's the prudent thing, but it's not. So,
and target date funds are now allowed, you know, to be the default de facto in 401k plans. So you're talking about Wall Street and asset gathering. That's exactly what this is.
Yeah, it's put together a product that people will like, and we can gather assets. Yep.
And there's now about $3.3 trillion in target date funds.
Are you kidding me?
Yep. That's this. I mean, it's a huge piece of 401ks now. That's the bulk of where target date funds are held.
Too big to fail, baby.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. So the way a target date fund
$3.3 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
Golly,
yeah,
that's a lot. it kind of astounds me.
Yeah. Well, and what. It embodies complacency is what it does, because that's what they're banking on. Because
I agree.
Let's say somebody's starting out in a plan, you start a job 22, early 20s, mid 20s, and you put it, you know, default into a target date fund, and you know the target date fund has a quote unquote retirement date. So
sort
say
of a
you
drop
put
dead date kind of thing.
Yeah.
By the way, you're supposed to die when the target date fund thing. I don't want to bring up a morbid topic, but no, I'm kidding. This is about what happens if you don't die, you know.
Yeah.
You have to keep going.
And so the way they work, and this is the way that they're marketed, is over time, as it gets closer to that target date, it automatically rebalances inside of the fund. Now, I picked one. It's a Vanguard Target Retirement 2030 fund, just for example. What a target date fund is, it's a fund of funds. It owns funds inside of the target date fund. So for the 2030 fund, it's about 38% weighted to the Vanguard Total Stock Market Index. Then they have the Total Bond Market Index, the Total International Stock Index, and then one other bond.
So it's an asset allocation.
It's an asset allocation. So this has 5 funds inside of that. Okay. So this is the epitome of a shotgun blast. I mean, you're owning everything. So whenever it starts, and I got on Vanguard's website and was looking at the glide path. The glide path is what they call the reallocation.
As you go towards that date.
As you go towards that date. So at age 20, they have it allocated 90% stocks, 10% bonds.
Right.
At age 40, it's allocated 90% stocks, 10% bonds. There's no change in the allocation. Then they call it phase 2, the transition. This begins at age 60. It moves to a 60% stock, 40% bond. Age 65, they call it the retirement. Moves to 50-50, 50% stocks, 50% bonds. Age 72 is phase 4, the withdrawal. It then goes to 30% stocks, 70% bonds.
Right.
Now, you notice what one thing we didn't say anything about, They're looking at, and they even say this, we're trying to capture the most broad swath of people out there that embody this allocation. There is nothing customized on this, nothing whatsoever.
Nowhere near.
Now, when people are 20, 30, it's a more homogeneous mix of goals. Because you're looking out, right, you know, for retirement. You're in the accumulation phase. And there are a lot of similarities there. Now, you can and should absolutely still invest based on your situation, but you could still make a case somewhat for a target date fund at that age. It's the kind of thing you can,
if you're listening to this program and you've been listening to it, you're knowing, or you know, that we're going to tell you, we think there's a better way.
Right.
It's real simple.
Yeah.
If you are getting an off-the-shelf, one-size-fits-all approach, we want to talk to you if you're interested, because we can give you something that's more tailored. And, you know, we are running our, we're getting ready to get this asset allocation program. And what we're seeing is that our portfolio is beginning to come up lower risk and potentially higher return than some of these off-the-shelf things, because the numbers, or the probabilities don't lie. If you're going to be in this target date fund, your equities part is going to be pretty close to an S&P 500 thing, mm-hmm, because they're, yeah, not going to do anything different, which means you're going to be very exposed to the Magnificent Seven.
The high multiple stocks.
On your equity part. On the bond part, there's a chance that you're going to be in just generic sort of corporates and governments, and there's that they are basically generic, which means that when rates go down, they rally somewhat, but when rates go up, you get your clock cleaned in these things, and mm-hmm, a lot of times it's basically in some of those generic bond portfolios that would end up in a fund like this, you're really exposed big time on the downside.
Yeah. Well, and the other area you're exposed to is lack of growth. So you take age 65. So that's their phase three. And in the target date fund, it has it 50% stocks, 50% bonds. Where does your growth of purchasing power occur? It's not in bonds. It's in equities. And so at age 65, you may still have 30-plus years that money has to be there and be working for you. So you still have, at 65, a long investment horizon. And with one of these, it by default, it's taken 50%
take you off the table.
It's taken 50% off the table for any kind of purchasing, growth of purchasing power.
The thing, okay, let's talk about counterintuitive approaches to investing. I'm not going to compare us to Warren Buffett, but what the heck. Warren Buffett, Berkshire Hathaway, has always run a very counterintuitive approach to the way he invests. He never split the big stock. He bought things that a lot of people for many years, they were not darlings of Wall Street. And he invested like a person who's really running a business, who's not just an investment advisor. And he's bought businesses. Our approach to retirement investing has been different than the canned approach that gets sold to everybody. Conventional wisdom saying you need to not have much in bonds as you get older. We actually believe, I mean, not much in stocks. We actually believe, yes, we should stay exposed to stocks, but it's the ones that we research, which gives you the higher chance for growth plus the dividends. And we're beginning to show up as having a lower risk portfolio and potentially higher returns. And this is a thing that we can't share any details of it, but if you come in, bring your portfolio in, we'll sit down with you, go over where you are now, what you're in, what's the, you know, what's the allocation that you're in? What does it throw off in terms of dividends, if anything? Sometimes not much. Mm-hmm. Versus the thing that we can show you. It takes research to come up with these portfolios. They're not just out there. You got to do some digging. But I'll put what we're doing up against any target date portfolio out there.
Right. And you look. You
all 3.3 trillion of it.
Yeah. You look at the age 72 allocation, 30% stocks, 70% bonds. Okay, so at age,
you could see Mike, it's almost like he's turning up his nose.
So
he's kind of, he looks like he's kind of pissed off.
Well, it's such a disservice. It's such a disservice, and nobody calls attention. The fund company, so the 401k plan, they're not going to call attention to it. They want the assets to stay there. And it's such a disservice to people because let's say it's a 70% bond allocation, 30% stock. For some people, maybe that is right. But most, the vast majority, no.
Yeah.
Because let's say you're at age 73, if it's an IRA, you have to start taking required minimum distributions. And so let's say just simplicity's sake, you're taking a 4% withdrawal rate. And if you have, remember, the stock portion of this is growth. It's not income. This is a growth stock portion.
The stock market.
Not income.
It's not individual stocks that have been carefully chosen. It's the stock market.
Right. And if you're taking 4% and you have 30% of it in growth, the other 70% is in bonds, which now are paying something, but your portfolio is not going to be generating that kind of income for the withdrawal. So you are liquidating principal.
You're going to be liquidating principal.
And it
better
will
hope the market stays up.
Hope the market stays up, and you're going to be liquidating more than likely your bonds. And then what's the fund do the next year? It reallocates to a higher percentage in bonds. So it's selling more stocks, moving to bonds.
So these things are designed for you to stay with them past the retirement date. It just does different stuff as it gets. So they're designed to stay with it all through retirement, which I don't believe. Well, anyway.
Well, and what it doesn't take into account at all is your specific situation.
Absolutely.
It doesn't take into account, you know, Social Security, pensions, assets, liabilities, how much you need, what your goals for the money are. It has no bearing. This is 100% based on age, and everybody, we see it all the time. You have the same age of a person, you talk to 10 of them, you have 10 different scenarios. And so it has to be based on your situation, your specific needs.
When Mike, he looks like he's like a cop that's ticked off about it. He's had to address one too many drunk drivers. It's like he's really getting ticked off. And he does that because, you know, he sees this stuff and it kind of.
I wouldn't say drunk drivers. I'm just saying
if you could see Mike's face when he deals with this, because he's dealt with it over and over again with people bringing portfolios in. And he knows there's a better way, and a lot of people just, They don't get it.
But do you know what those people do need to do? They need to take the first step. Call us at 859-233-0400. Bring your portfolio in. Let us take a look at it and give a complimentary review. We never sell anything. We just give another set of eyes and another opinion. You can also go to our website, DupreeFinancial.com, and schedule an appointment directly on our homepage. We'll be back in just a few minutes with more of the Tom Dupree Show. Mike Johnson sitting in for the Financial Hour.
This is Tom Dupree at Dupree Financial Group. We believe proper management of retirement assets is a long-term process. If you've been listening, we've been advertising for over 20 years. We know that choosing an advisor can take a long time to decide, and it's a long-term engagement when you do decide. Our accountability must also be up to the nature of the job, and with 46 years in the investment business, we're used to being accountable. For more information on how we manage retirement assets, call us at 859-233-0400 or go to our website at DupreeFinancial.com. Also, be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show at News Radio 630 WLAP or on your favorite podcast platform.
Welcome back to the Tom Dupree Show for the Financial Hour. Joining us, Mike Johnson, our host, Tom Dupree, and we are powered by Dupree Financial Group.
Sly and the Family Stone, you know, they produced a proliferation of hits in the early 70s, late 60s. They came from San Francisco and played at Woodstock. Fly kind of got himself in some trouble. Substances, but what a talent. All right, the most important concept in finance, you know, it's perception is everything. Let me tell you what changed how I invest. It took time. Research. I went from seeing a stock or an investment in which we had put money when it dropped in value. I went from seeing that as a failure or a referendum on my or our ability to an opportunity to buy more of it. We've done that a number of times. Yeah, we're going to be wrong sometimes. We just finally sold something today that we
I think we're just wrong on, and we got out of it with pretty much what we paid for it. Every net, and then what's lost then is your opportunity cost. But it's perception. And it's this idea that just because you feel a certain way doesn't mean that that's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
There is a tendency among everybody who invests money to view his or her account like a checking account. If it goes up in value, I feel good. If it goes down in value, I feel bad. But this is kind of deals with some of that. So
yeah,
go ahead.
Absolutely. This was an interesting quote from Andre Agassi, actually, which that's more from my childhood. Yeah, I remember him when he was a big deal, and it was pretty cool. But he's talking about winning the Grand Slam, Wimbledon. And he says, now that I've won a slam, I know something that very few people on earth are permitted to know. A win doesn't feel as good as a loss feels bad.
That's interesting.
And the good feeling doesn't last as long as the bad, not even close.
You know, that's interesting. It's really true, though.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's true in a lot of things.
Absolutely.
It really is.
Well, and so
So the thing is what I try to do, and it's hard to do, figure out how I can turn my losses into a gain. And, you know, that's not always possible.
Sure.
But you try.
Yeah. So Daniel Kahneman, he was a behavioral economist. He was a psychologist, but he did some really interesting studies and work on psychology and money and views in the market. But one of the biggest things that he had was that money lost isn't the same as money gained. His studies concluded that losses are more than twice as painful as gains. So when you're looking at, you know that about the psychology. I mean, what Agassi said, that mirrors that. So that's just a human nature. That's the emotion. It's like when you look at an optical illusion, it fools your eyes.
Yeah, because we believe our perception.
Yeah.
One of the things that happens for me as I get older, I learn not to 100% trust my perception of things. I know that there's something more to a lot of things than just the way I perceive it. And when you're younger, the default thing is to trust your perception 100%. But as I've seen people get older, I realize that their perceptions can slip. And that, you know, sometimes and quite often on something that needs to be discerned, you got to sit with it for a while, ask people their point of view on these kinds of things.
Yeah. Well, and it's like anything, the more you learn, the more you realize what you don't know. Yeah. Because you see more. But you look at, so if we know that people want to avoid losses, they say they want to have, you know, gains, yeah, but they don't
necessarily want to go through what it takes to get to those gains.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the hard part right there.
So
they don't like that feeling of being down.
When products are marketed, how are they marketed a certain way? It's loss aversion.
Exactly.
They're trying. Yeah.
It's exactly. That's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah. It's the innate nature of people to not want to experience loss.
That's right.
Now,
and they want the upside.
Loss in the market is what you call volatility, ups and downs in the market. What
volatility equals down.
Volatility equals
it ain't
down.
It ain't volatility, right, if it's going up.
And so that's why when you see markets going down, they say it takes the elevator down, the escalator up. It goes down a lot quicker than it goes up sometimes because you have this emotion. You have this emotional selling when markets start going down. Plus, you compound that with computer trading and algorithms. But losses, loss aversion leads to panic in the markets. But what it can do to the individual investor, it changes your perception of risk. So rather than looking, like you were saying, as a drop in the market, a particular stock, a particular company, rather than viewing that as an opportunity, you view that as, I don't want to touch that thing. It's like, let's say you bought Apple stock at the first of the year.
Yep.
Right now you're viewing that as like, that is the most risky thing in the world because I'm down on it. Yep. Or you bought Tesla stock at the first of the year. It's down, you know, around 30% year to date. Well, that's the most risky thing in the world. So it all depends on your perception of and when you buy something. But the real risk for a portfolio is outliving your money, meaning your withdrawals over a lifetime aren't, you're not being compensated with those withdrawals. You're not invested properly, and so you're spending down your principal. And
that's right.
So with retirement investing particularly, you have to be invested with the phase you are in life.
Yeah. And don't misinterpret what that phase is. The thing that people tend to do is they go by what I would call the conventional wisdom, which really isn't wisdom. It's the conventional practice of pulling in their reins and only having conservative investments when they're old. Now, some people have figured this out, and we do get those from time to time, but so much of the industry is trying to push people into a cubbyhole with the way they do things.
Well, I mean, you look at the target date funds that we were talking about in the first half. The idea of having 30% stock, 70% bonds.
Because you've been sold the idea of loss aversion.
Exactly. And you see that with most packaged products, you know, insurance-related products. It's sold based on loss
and
aversion.
And a lot of mutual fund-related things, too.
That's right. And you need to change your perception that it's not necessarily loss aversion. It's being invested appropriately for where you are. Because losses, there's volatility, normal market volatility, and then there's what you would call the permanent impairment of capital. Yeah. And that's you buy something and it goes down 70%, and it doesn't come back for 20 years or plus, which you've seen that happen many times in companies that are still around today, coming out of the tech bubble, Intel, several others. You had over a decade to get back. And so that you had some, you know, a permanent impairment is you buy something and it goes all the way to zero. That's a permanent impairment. Then you have real loss and opportunity cost. But when you do, and this is how we reconcile the idea of risk with the investments, because risk is not knowing what you own and reacting.
Good point.
And reacting based on that gut feeling emotion of loss aversion.
Well, what is the biggest fear that somebody has? Like, let's say they discover they've got a disease. They're terror struck at the beginning. And why? They don't know what they're dealing with.
Yeah.
And what do people do if they're smart? A lot of times they start studying about this thing that they've got. And they read and they get on the internet, obviously. And sometimes they get more scared. But if they submit to a plan of treatment, generally they come to a point where they know sort of what the upside and the downside potentially is. The reason people get so scared regarding investing is because they don't know what they're in, and they have kind of punted away their ability to know because they've farmed it out to, quote, professional. We believe that you need to understand what your money is invested in, even if it's just sort of topically, but that it's important for you to know because it helps you during the negative and the down times. And you have to understand there is a chance of loss, temporary. Sometimes you might have some permanent loss in something. We're not here to peddle loss aversion to you. We're here to talk about realistic returns over a given period of time in a volatile market.
Right. And the research that comes through to when our clients are sitting here, let's say it's in a bad market, which our clients have gone through several, depending on how long they've been with us. When you're looking at a particular
vintages.
Yeah. When you're looking at a particular company, so the first thing you look at a portfolio. What's the value of the portfolio? That's the first thing everybody looks at. But then you look deeper. Okay, what's the portfolio generating in terms of income? What is the client's withdrawal rate? So is the income, the withdrawals being generated by the dividends and interest? That's something that you look at.
Some but people then, don't know the difference. They just think that if they have no idea of the difference between taking the distributions out of principal or out of income.
Right, right. And then you take it down another layer. And then this, say you look at a particular company and say, okay, this company, they're in the insurance business. This is their balance sheet. This is management. This is the cash flow. This is the dividend. This is the history on the dividend. Share price is down right now. Historically, valuations are attractive. And when we're going in and buying more at the lower price, the client isn't just looking at just the numbers. There's an understanding, and it adds to the confidence level. So to that idea of loss aversion, that's what we're not explaining it based on loss aversion. We're just showing it as an opportunity, that there's a difference in perception of loss aversion or versus an opportunity. And
right.
our clients understand that this, yes, things are down, but it's not loss aversion that we're reacting to. We're not selling across the board because things are down. It's an opportunity. So we're looking at it as a chance to buy. Because of what that can, how that can position the portfolio, produce more income, and have potentially better gains moving forward. So that's the difference. And you compare that with the target date fund. None of that is going on.
No.
All of that I just said, none of that happens on a target date fund. It's all based on your age, and that's it. There's nothing taken account on what's going on in the market. You know, you look at that age 72 allocation that I was talking about, 70% bonds, 30% stocks. That would have been this is quote unquote conservative, not risky. That would have been horrible in 2022.
Yeah.
There wouldn't have been a thing you could do about it because that's just where it's going. And so, but when you look at what happened in 2022, that gave opportunities, you know, interest rates going up like they did. Bonds were down, stocks were down. That was an opportunity to buy some things and position your portfolio long term. You look at we were talking last week on the Magnificent Seven stocks. And man, I mean, what a run some of those have had. But you look at it now, and like valuations are high. You're starting to see Tesla, Apple pull back. The Magnificent Seven are starting to pull back. Well, in most 401ks, even in the target date fund, the stock portion is weighted towards those. And as you're getting closer to retirement, that's why it makes sense to convert some of that growth, that concentrated growth into more of an income and reallocate based on where you are in life now, because you're not, you're exiting the accumulation phase.
Yeah. So the thing that we're going to try to do is set up an account that we believe, if it's done properly, can most of your distribution, that's the monthly money that you're taking out of your retirement account for living expenses, most of it can be produced by dividends and interest from the portfolio, meaning that we're not liquidating the principal. And that means that the principal has a much better chance of lasting as long as you're going to last, and that when you pass away, you'll have something left to pass on to your heirs.
Right, right.
That's a big part of what we're trying to do.
Right.
For people.
Well, and when you take it, you know, even further, you've got the investment construction, but then you've got, you know, I'll call it life, and you've got IRAs, Roth IRAs, taxable accounts. You've got all the different pots, if you will, of your financial picture, and it makes a difference where money is pulled from. And
special distributions that you might have to take,
yeah,
buy a car,
exactly,
put a roof on your house,
and that's the other part
of gambling debt.
Financial management.
It was only a joke.
Of financial advice and retirement planning.
It was only a joke.
Where is the most efficient place to take the funds from? Because, you know, if you have a big expense, should you take it from your IRA, your Roth IRA, or, you know, charitable gifting? Does it make sense to give that as a qualified charitable distribution from your IRA versus a stock that's appreciated? All of that depends on your situation. Right. And that's the importance
taxes
of,
and
exactly
those sort of things.
And what your goals are.
Yeah. And everything, it's as much of an art as it is a science. There's moving parts. There's not necessarily always just one way to do it. It's not like building a bridge or a road where everybody agrees this is how you do it. Investing gives you a lot of choices. One of the things a financial advisor can do is help you go through those choices and options and decide what you want to do.
So, here we go. That's a wrap for the Financial Hour. You've been listening to the Tom Dupree Show with Mike Johnson and Tom Dupree. If you'd like to hear more of the Tom Dupree Show, this is an episode you might want to re-listen to, because there was a lot of really good information to help you plan for the future that you envision for yourself. If you'd like to come see us to find out more about your portfolio, to know what you own, 859-233-0400. You can also go to our website at dupreefinancial.com to schedule an appointment directly on our homepage. We appreciate you listening to the Financial Hour.